So good to see all of you today. It's good to be back in the pulpit after a few weeks' absence. I've been here, actually, around doing stuff. I've been in some of the worship services and all that, but just not preaching. And so I know that you're concerned. He's had 4 Sundays where he wasn't preaching. How long is this sermon going to go on? Right? Yeah. So, yeah, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to be here. No, I'll save some for next week, I promise. We'll be fine. The grace, mercy, and peace of the triune God be with you all. Sometimes, some days, I feel a little bit like Mary. Mary, who stood by Jesus' tomb on the Sunday following that awful Friday. Are you with me? She said, and I paraphrase, "What in the world have you done with Jesus? Where is he? What have you done with him?" Paula White is the president's chief spiritual advisor. Last month, White had the unenviable task of trying to justify the administration's zero-tolerance policy that resulted in the separation of thousands of immigrant children from their parents. More recently, she has turned to Scripture to defend these abhorrent policies. Some say the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I would add that it is also paved with scripture verses wrenched out of their context. Amen? So recently, Paula White said this, and I quote, "I think so many people say stuff like, well, Jesus was a refugee. Yes, he did live in Egypt for 3.5 years. But it was not illegal. If he had broken the law, then he would have been sinful and he would not have been our Messiah." Where do you start on that? Reverend Jennifer Butler, who is the director of faith and public life, had a great one-line response. "Sorry, Paula," she wrote, "Jesus was the poster child for lawless refugees." According to the story in Matthew's gospel, one that we often skip over in the Christmas season because it's so un-Christmassy, King Herod was so anxious about the birth of Jesus and so concerned that this child would be a political threat to King Herod, who was, what, the lawful authority at that time, that he sent out death squads to take care of the problem. All this before Jesus had uttered a single word. I wonder if Paula White has read the Gospels. I mean, if she has, you don't need to look very far in the Gospels to try to find Jesus in conflict with the authorities. Take the passage that we read this morning, just 2 chapters in to Mark's Gospel. Jesus and the disciples, who were under the watchful eyes of the authorities, walking through a field of grain and rubbing the grain between their hands and eating it, which qualified as doing work on the Sabbath. And then Jesus, in the very next story, healing a man on the Sabbath, not out in the country somewhere, but right in the middle of the synagogue. Both were occasions for the leaders to raise these serious questions about Jesus' future. Now, I don't think Jesus was going out of his way to break the law. But if laws were not rooted in compassion and justice, then Jesus was going to flout them. I mean, let's be honest. Jesus was not tried and executed for being a good guy and following the laws. Amen? Yeah. Okay, let's pause for just a moment. And if you'll go with me into a brief moment of confession. It's easy to put down the leaders of Jesus' day, right? I mean, it's easy to look back and just kind of make fun of how short-sighted they were and, oh, we would have been we would have seen what was really going on. We would have been so much smarter about Jesus back if we had just lived in that time, right? Until we really place ourselves firmly in that story and we ask, what field is he walking through in our lives and in our spaces? And what ears of corn is he plucking from our sacred rituals? And what challenges is he making to the so settled ways that we see and understand God just this way and no other? And when we place ourselves there in the text, I wonder if we'll begin to hear in the background the sound of carpenters fashioning crosses. As someone once said, we would rather kill Jesus in 1,000 different ways than be transformed by his revolutionary love. I've shared with some of you that I went to seminary because I was just so fascinated with Jesus. Somewhere along the way, I picked up an old commentary on Matthew's gospel and I began reading the gospel. And I started reading the notes in the gospel so that I could understand what I was reading. And I was just swept away by Jesus, by how different Jesus was, caught up in his complete otherness. I mean, this was not the Jesus that I had learned about in Sunday school in the film strips or on the felt board. No, I mean, here was somebody who was, he was not only challenging, I'm deconstructing every idea I had about God and religion, but offering a new vision of life, of what really matters, that went beyond the culture that I was drowning in, the domination of money and working and acquiring and consuming and lifting up compassion and service. Here was someone who stood in the marketplace and announced that God is not confined to our narrow rules. Someone who expanded that notion of compassion, not just to include, not just to tolerate, but to elevate those that we push to the margins and invite them and say, come on, have a seat at the head table. This is the Jesus I was drawn to. The one who, if you pay attention, if you pay close attention to what he's asking of you, it will make your skin crawl. It will. It's like watching storms roll in when we lived on the coast, and you are simultaneously shaken up with the threat of what's out there and what's about to happen, but you're also drawn in closer, and you want to experience it and maybe be a part of it and even embrace it. This is the Jesus that I committed to following, that I said, I will follow. Where in God's name is this Jesus? Who's taken him away? One of our dear clergy friends is Reverend Laura Merrill, who is now assistant to the bishop. She is the daughter of Chuck Merrill, who is a former beloved senior pastor of University Church for almost 20 years. Laura was recently invited to go to the Tornillo Detention Facility to lead worship with some of the immigrant children there. She responded to the call to go because she wanted more than anything to be with those children in worship. And she's smart enough to know that if Jesus is anywhere, Jesus is going to be with those kids, right? So she was part of an ecumenical team of 10 pastors who went there. They gathered first with about 300 boys, teenagers of all different ages and colors. Laura said that when the clergy were introduced, you would have thought they were rock stars. The applause from these boys was just thunderous. And now, Reverend Laura Merrill from San Antonio. I mean, it was in Spanish, of course, and all applauding and cheering and yelling. They worshiped together. They sang together. They read scripture together. And Laura shared a simple message about young people who had made dangerous journeys. Joseph, who was taken captive as a child to Egypt. Hagar, who was banished from her family with Ishmael. Jesus, who went with his parents to live in Egypt. They shared bread with them. And even though they didn't have a liturgy for communion, the boys cupped their hands and they received the bread as communion. And so Laura changed her words to el cuerpo de Cristo, the body of Christ. And then a service with 30 girls followed. They were shy at first, but once they started singing, Laura said those girls let loose on the parts that they knew and they blew the walls off the back of the tent. At that point, Laura said, I completely lost it. They sang Sumerheme, which begins with these words. So if you want, close your eyes, put yourself back as a young person who's been on a long journey, and now you're there in Tornio. And this is how the song opens. Tired from the road, thirsty for you, I have crossed a desert. I'm left without strength. I come to you. Laura left Tornio heartbroken and angry. It's so maddening, isn't it, that young people in our country are in detention centers like this. But she also left knowing that the children had heard that morning, and also this morning, I think she's with them right now, that they had heard words of hope, love, and possibility. That they had heard about a God who was about something new. And she left with their courage and their faithfulness ringing in her ears. Laura responded to the call of Jesus, the Jesus who urges us to an ever-expanding love, the Jesus who was filled with God's passion for justice, the Jesus who bids each of us beyond our comfort, beyond our preferences. You know, no matter how inclusive we say we are as individuals or as a congregation, Jesus wants us to stretch even further, right? More love. Come on, you can do it. More justice. Come on now. More transformation. Stretch. Come on, University Church. Stretch. So hear this, my friends. When it comes to Jesus, accept no substitutes. No substitutes. Because God knows there is a poser Jesus lurking around every corner. So listen. Listen for his voice and be prepared to follow him.